can't solve a problem at the same level it was created.
I worked very hard for 10 years to become an overnight sensation.
Your growth has to be number one. That is the first rule.
You need to be able to imagine something being better.
And I think the fear is missing a life and not experiencing your full capacity.
The only way to learn to see is to make assertions, see what happens, learn from it, and then do it again.
You're listening to the Humans 2.0 podcast. This is your host, Mark Metry.
Today, I'm joined by someone. If you're watching this on LinkedIn, you probably already know her, Michaela Alexis. I remember when I first got on this platform in like 2017, she was on here and really making waves that aren't just, you know, meaningful and significant. If you guys don't know Michaela, she is a LinkedIn learner, trainer, teacher. She has her own LinkedIn learning course. She does so many amazing things. And I recently got a chance to connect with her. And, you know, we just started jamming. And I was like, man, I have to get you on here because I bet this would be so useful. Right quick before we begin, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, which is Restream, which is what I'm using right now to live stream this. It's a free platform that people can visit and live stream. Totally recommend it. You guys can check it out in the link below. Now, finally, without further ado, Michaela Alexis, how are you doing today?
I'm speechless about how excited I am to be here today. Super excited to share some coffee with my friends on LinkedIn. I feel like it's been a while since I've done one of these lives, so I'm really excited to just kind of like get into this conversation. And we already started it last week, and like I was so excited to share some of the topics that we were talking about with the rest of our LinkedIn fam.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm drinking some Tenzo green tea, this matcha latte. But I hope you're enjoying your coffee. And, you know, Michaela, when I first learned about you and when I first started sort of tracking and learning about your journey, the thing to me that really stood out to me was that you seem to really be able to just like blend who you are as a normal person and even talk about like the vulnerable things in life, the downs and the ups. And then also be able to be known as like this incredible LinkedIn trainer who helps out companies and you know, really teaches people how to grow their business with LinkedIn. And so first off, I'm super happy, and you helped pave the way for me to talk about other things like mental health and other things that all relate to us as human beings. And so first off, thank you for that. I'm just curious, like, to learn your journey starting off of like, what was it like, you know, you were kind of very early on this platform, and what was it like just sharing like the more authentic moments compared to like the more professional things that everyone kind of seems to be talking about in the main LinkedIn sphere?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you. I really appreciate that. I started on LinkedIn. I started creating content in 2016. And, you know, I think that you can kind of tell how long someone will be a creator based on what their original intentions were. For me, I started on the platform as a job seeker. I was a month away from my 30th birthday, broke, unemployed, $20 in my bank account, had to go to my parents because my EI didn't kick in. It was like a whole mess. But I think also kind of being a rock bottom, incredible things can happen when you have nothing else to lose. I think a lot of us like kind of keep coasting because we're not uncomfortable enough yet. And I was at the point where it was like, well, I have nothing to lose. And so I originally started sharing content about marketing and social media on LinkedIn. And then I started sharing more about my experience as a job seeker and just a little bit more personal content. And so my first aha moment was really the fact that people actually cared. I was like, it still blows me away to this day. Like now it makes sense knowing the LinkedIn community. But back then I was like, you care about where I'm interviewing today or how my interview went, or you want me to come in and interview at your company? Why? But so many people were craving that like human connection. And at the time, a lot of community was shifting to online and digital. and even more so now, but people were still looking for those human real connections. And what I found at that time is that people were telling me one thing, which was you have the personal and professional self and they do not mix. Mm. And yet I did my research before I started sharing more content because I'm in marketing and my background is in psychology. And the number three content topic for articles was on self-esteem. So first it was like recruiting, sales, I mean, of course, LinkedIn. But number three was self-esteem. And I was like, something's not adding up here because we're all saying that like we are like these perfect robots. I like go to work and like we just leave our personalities at home. And yet we are consuming content that looks very different. And so I started sharing content about things that people just weren't talking about, fear of failure, rejection, the stigma of being a job seeker. And it was like, it was mixed, right? Because on one hand, my community was growing super quickly and people around the world were really like, it was resonating with a lot of people. But on the other hand, I had so much backlash from people saying like, no, we don't talk about our feelings here, Michaela. And so that was a little bit difficult, but I think that sometimes you're just kind of like led by, I think this is important. Like, I think that I'm sharing something that's resonating with enough people that I need to keep going. And so that's what I did. And that's what I've continued to do over the last 4 years. And now I'm in a position where I wouldn't know how to have that professional filter if I tried. I just, seriously, you know, for me, the benefit is that when you share yourself and your struggles and your challenges, you get connected to people like you, Mark. Like, I think we originally had like a 15-minute call booked and then we ended up talking for like an hour and a half. And that is what's amazing about showing up as yourself, because then you genuinely are able to connect with other people like you, clients that believe in what you believe in. And so in some ways, I feel like it's a little bit selfish of me to share myself, because then it's led me to be surrounded by people that have the same values as I do and don't judge me for who I actually am. And I don't have to constantly put on a show. And I feel like I was in such a position before I started on LinkedIn where I was constantly trying to pretend to be someone that I absolutely wasn't. Like today at some point, I'm going to spill coffee on myself. My dogs are going to bark in the background. I'm going to have to put myself on mute because they're chasing a squirrel. Like that's who I am. Like, and I feel like most of my energy for the first 10 years of my career was spent just trying to pretend to be this totally other person.
Yeah, you know, it's truly crazy. You know, as someone who spent a lot of their life with like extreme social anxiety, I think people like you and I, we have lived the extremes of what it's like to feel like you are suppressed, to feel like you can't be yourself.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of ways to overcome that. Like, for example, you know, working on your self-esteem, there's all sorts of things. But I think one of the biggest things is, personally for me, like as an introvert, I really use social media to just put out messages that I'm a fan of. And what I've learned, as I'm sure you learned, when you do that, it's like you put out a magnet out there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times people who are like-minded will just come to you. And so like, for example, when you and I had that conversation, you know, I could immediately, you know, tell based on like the kind of person you were that you weren't putting a filter or you weren't trying to act like somebody and you were just trying to be an honest person. And I think as someone who has also been able to do that, you can spot that out in somebody. Oh, yeah. But Michaela, I want to go back to one thing you mentioned, and when you sort of began to share and blend personal and professional back when it was like, and it kind of is still taboo on LinkedIn. I'm curious to ask you on the negative side, on the troll side, on the hater side. I mean, I'm sure you still experience that today, but I'm just curious, like, what would your advice be to somebody who, whether it's they're creating on LinkedIn, whether they've, whatever it is, started a podcast, Twitter, whatever, and they're just trying to be honest, and then they're met with, you know, maybe a little bit of success, but then maybe usually with that success comes with people, you know, not screwing you over, but people not being so nice. So I'm curious, like, what advice do you have?
Yeah, great question. My advice has changed over time, actually, on this. I originally kind of thought of, you know, it's like the typical advice of, like, just ignore the negativity, all these things. Here's the reality. I'm a human being. It doesn't matter if I have one follower, if I have a million followers, I'm a human. And when I read comments that are hurtful or unkind, it hurts me. Some of them are less so. And when people talk about thicker skin with creators, I don't think that thicker skin is a thing. Just so that you, like, we're clear here. I don't think that's a thing. I think that people become numb to certain comments. I know that I've heard it a million times, like, yeah, I'm stupid. I don't know what I'm talking about. I shouldn't be talking about this or that. I've heard those comments a million times. And so I become numb to it. Is becoming numb to it the same thing as being strong? I don't think so.
No.
But I will say that, you know, you have to see the positives of what you do. So if I put out content and, you know, I read all these comments of how I'm helping other people, that has to matter more than the comments that are negative. And so it really comes back to, why are you sharing it? Because if you're sharing content because you want to have a million views and you want everybody to love you, you're going to have a real hard time. And you probably won't go and create anything else because it's horrifying. But if you go into it with the intention of trying to lift up other people up and share your story and attract the right audience and attract your tribe, then all of that stuff doesn't matter nearly as much. But I will say, like, don't let those comments make you hard and bitter. Because for me, the reason why I've attracted the people that I have is because I am empathetic. I feel all the feelings. I am like 0 to 100 and no in between. Like, my husband will tell you that. And so that is a blessing and a curse, right? The blessing is that I am able to connect with and empathize with people, even if I haven't experienced what they've experienced, because that's my personality. On the other side of that, I also feel the hatred. I feel the bitterness. I feel the anger and the rage from people when they share negative comments. And so you have to know that with those superpowers, it can also be a weakness, and that's life, right? The dark and there's the light. But don't let that kind of dim that light, bright side that has connected you with so many wonderful people. I see that happen sometimes where it's these people that started off and they had just like hearts of gold and they went into it with all the right intentions and they become very bitter and very like angry and numb because of all of those things.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, because that really is your superpower, is to be able to connect with people and be empathetic. But it isn't always easy.
No, it's not. And you know, I'm so glad that you changed your advice on this, because, you know, to me, when I look at people throughout the course of their career, maybe not with everything, but I look at someone changing their thoughts and their advice as a sign of strength, because that means that you're always trying to learn, you're always trying to adapt, you're always trying to put out what's best. So kudos to you for that. And you know, I love what you said on, you know, sort of just put on thick skin, because it's funny, right? Because I remember once upon a time in my life where I was depressed and I was suicidal. And yet the real part about that is that you put on like this mask, you put on this suit of armor. And the reality is that that suit of armor, it protects you from the bad things, but it also shields you from the good things too.
Yes. That's exactly what I was trying to say. And you said that so well. Thank you for that.
Thank you. I mean, I do have personal experience with it for a decade, but it's brutal, you know, and ultimately you want to get to a spot where, you know, you understand, and like you said, you focus more on the good stuff and you understand how that matters.
Yeah.
And then personally for me, you know, I'm constructive criticism is always great to get, but then you just see some comments where people are just like destroying you and just trying to tear you down. And I find that happens to me when I have like a viral post that goes outside of my network.
Yes.
And then people are like, what do you mean you're talking about self-esteem? What do you mean you're talking about mindset? Like,
and it's
just like, I'm so foreign to that stuff now. To me, I just look at the comment and I'm like, dude, what world do you live in? Like, you know that all your employers, all the people on your LinkedIn network can see this comment right now. And so honestly, I feel more bad for them. But a question I want to ask for you is, like, on the flip side of this, though, do you ever get desensitized to the positive comments? Because I know I definitely 100,000% do. I'm curious, like, if you've ever experienced that, of just like, you post every day, maybe it's about business, but then maybe it's about your personal life.
Yeah.
You just get a ton of comments. I'm curious about that.
That is a really good question. Oh my gosh. And I don't know if I've thought about it that much, but I think for me, no, not really, because I have talked about so many different things, right? If you look at like my latest posts, I've talked about, you know, how my feelings on success have changed. I talk about, rejection. I talk about, mental health. And then I talk about being biracial, but looking white. So it's like, I cover all of these different areas. And so, and everything that I write, by the way, comes from the heart. That's why you'll never see me like, I'm not going to be consistent. I know, like, I'm preaching that to my clients, and I will never be that way, because I have made it a point to only share when I feel compelled to. That sounds like I have like a demon inside me or something, but when I feel like that I have a message that I really want to share, or I have a thought that I'm like, oh my gosh, I wonder if anybody else has this thought. And so, so everything comes straight from the heart. And so when you're sharing straight from the heart and somebody else says, I see that, I feel that, I don't think that ever gets old. And everybody has a story too. So what's really nice is, like, when you mention like kind of closing yourself up to the good stuff, the opposite is true too. When you open yourself up, people feel like they have permission to open up as well. And so sometimes like a lot of like the comments and the messages that I get are like very like open, which is great. I wish that I would be able to, like, my biggest struggle on LinkedIn is the fact that I'm just not able to respond to everything. And something that I've learned over time, you know, when I started on LinkedIn, I was on LinkedIn, no joke, from like morning till night, like doing like my full-time job. But like, I would like sit there and like just be responding to everything. It's not, from a mental health perspective, it's not okay for me to do that anymore. And also I have my own health issues. So, you know, I'm dealing with my own things too. And so I do put a cap on how much time I'm spending on social media, which I think is really important.
Awesome.
So, I would love to sit there and respond to everybody, but I do see everything. It brings me so much joy. And it's really the only reason that I've continued doing it. Like, really and truly, if it wasn't for the people that are commenting and sharing their own stories, and then meeting people, sometimes I meet people in person and they tell me the stories in person. And it's just like, it will never get, like, I literally, every single time I like talk about this, I start getting teary eyed, because it just never, ever gets old. It's the only thing that keeps me going. And I would for sure not be doing this if it wasn't for those comments.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, I wanna touch on a point that you said of, you know, not necessarily messages, but, you know, I'm sure that you've experienced this, I've experienced this, we have mutual friends that have experienced this, where this usually happens when you're on the bigger content creator side. Where, you know, someone sends you a message, someone comments, someone tries to do something nice, and then, you know, the person gets heard about it, and they're like, oh, I can't believe you didn't respond to my message, and so on and so forth. Right. And so I think the biggest thing around that is, just once you get to a certain level, once your messages, your movements, your messages go beyond you, I think people just start, they don't look at you as a human anymore. They look at you as a name and a profile picture and 100,000 followers or whatever it is. And it's like, you should be able to do this and that. And so that's something that, personally, like, when someone does that to me, I'm not that affected by it, because I'm just like, I don't work for you. Like, good for you. I appreciate you, but I'm not obligated to do anything. But I'm curious, like, how have you handled that, of like, you know, I'm curious, like, have you experienced that maybe with any of your other social media friends of like people just dehumanizing you and just looking at you as like this idol, this thing that people need to, and even in a good way too. Like, I bet some people also try to like follow you as like an idol or like try to worship you or like in a good way. I know people do that to me all the time, but it's just like, now we got to get back to the human level. Literally.
No, I'm not a cult leader yet. Why did I say yet?
Yeah. What have you got cooking now?
Yeah, exactly. It's not on my dream board. So here's the thing is that, you know, you talk about people that send negative comments and you feel sorry for them. And I feel the same way. I do have sympathy for people that are kind of carrying that in their heart. The same thing is true for people that have not grown past this idea that anybody owes you anything. And that's a really harsh but powerful thought, that nobody owes you anything. And on the flip side of that, you do not owe anybody anything, right? I think that for me, for a very long time, I made myself the victim. That's why I wasn't growing in my career. I take full responsibility for my lack of growth for the first 10 years of my career, because I sat around and I would lose my job and I would blame my boss. I would blame that coworker that was constantly in my business. I would blame my parents, because why couldn't they have more connections? Why weren't they millionaires or billionaires? I would blame my friends because they weren't checking in on me after I lost my job. I had so much resentment for people around me, and I had such high expectations of what I was owed in this life. And once I read, I can't remember what book I was reading, and they said that nobody owes you anything. And at first I was like, that's rude. I don't believe that. And like, right? Because it's like one of those thoughts that it's like, no. And then I thought about it. I'm like, wait a second. On the flip side of that, does that mean that I don't owe anybody anything either? And that was the most empowering, freeing thought I think I've ever had, because that allowed me to just not only give grace to people around me, but also give grace to myself. And so the same thing is true for people message. Like, I don't owe, like, for anybody that's message, I don't owe you anything. You do not owe me anything. And so that frees us both to be able to give without expectations, right? I love to give. I am a giver 100%. But when there are expectations involved, I'm out. Right? Because if somebody sends me a message and they're like, you need to go and look at my LinkedIn profile and tell me what's wrong with it, I'm out. But if you come to me, and I've done this a million times, you send me a message and we're chatting and you just lost your job and you tell me your story and all that, I will give you whatever I can give you. But when those expectations are there, it's just, it muddles the water so much because those relationships are transactional, right? And so the same thing is even true with prospects. If I have prospects and I send them a proposal or I send them a message and they expect to get a response within like an hour, if you have those expectations already, it means that you don't see me as a human being. We need to be on this level. And I have always treated, I really truly believe, if somebody connects with me, I don't care if you're a student, an intern, a CEO, president, you are going to be treated the same by me. Maybe not by other people, but by me, I look at you as exactly the same because you are a human being. And so that's, but the tough part is, yeah, absolutely those expectations. When people start to say things like, wow, I can't believe you've responded, or I can't believe you're talking to me, I try to bring it to, let's scale it back. I'm right here. We're here. I'm not here. You're not here, because that's a dangerous dynamic when people think that they are above or below you. And I think part of that too comes from the fact that, like, I haven't had a glamorous career, right? I have gone everywhere from like washing your, like cleaning urinals, to training employees at Walmart and speaking on massive stages and having, you know, a shoe commercial with K-Swiss. So I've done, and I've dressed up as a can of beans. Like, I have done everything across the spectrum, and I am the exact same person whether I'm cleaning a urinal or in a commercial, right? And so I look at people the same way. And so, yeah, it is a difficult thing to have those expectations. I just think that it's really important to always try to bring people back to that human level. And I think that's where you start to see the disconnect between influencers. I know we hate that word, but creators and their audience, right? When they start to lose touch, and it's like they're talking about like private jets, or they're talking about buying a vacation home. Well, you have to remember, where did you come from? Like, where do your people come from? What is it? What are their ideas of success? Because I know for myself, my idea of success is not to be a billionaire. That isn't in the cards for me. I love impacting people. I love teaching. I love influencing people in a positive way. And so that's what drives me. And so knowing what are the intentions of your audience, where do they come from? Where did you come from? Where did you start? And never losing sight of why you started is really, really important. But I don't know if that's like, is a real answer, but that's
not what I do. No, that was such a powerful answer, Mikhail. I learned a lot. And you know, honestly, I think the biggest thing is just like, it's so bad for your mental health to just be on social media all day and then just have the expectation of responding to everyone's comments, especially if you are growing, you have a ton of followers, you have a ton of messages. Right. I know there's been like seasons where I've tried to do that. And oh man, it's been terrible. It's so tough. It's so tough. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to do it. And I have this conversation with like all of my friends who are on social media and who have a lot of followers and have an audience and stuff. And it's difficult. You know, I don't think there's a one straight up answer for it, but regardless, it is really interesting for sure.
But you know, the thing is too, is that it's not even just people with big audiences, right? I think this is like a struggle that even people that are just on social media, if they're on LinkedIn, if they're on Instagram, they're still struggling with it. I think we're all trying to figure out, you know, social media has come in like hard and fast into our lives. And I think we're all trying to find out what is that balance? What does that look like? How can I show up? For me, this is like my big thing, is that if I feel like I can't show up in the way that I want to, if I can't bring my best self, I'll just log off. Because I have my own health issues. I have my own stuff that I'm dealing with. And if I wake up in the morning and I'm like, this isn't the right Mikhaela, not the right Mikhaela for going on. And that doesn't just mean happy. It's just the right energy, because there are days when I wake up and I'm bitter, right? Or I'm anxious, or I'm stressed out. And that's not the energy that I want to put on other people. But I think that this is not just like a conversation that needs to be had if you are an influencer or you have a big audience. I think in general, we all need to kind of figure out where's that line for us? Where are those boundaries? Like, how much time do we spend on, because social media can be great. LinkedIn has changed my entire life. So it's hard for me to knock it, but there is a limit to that, right? And so what does that limit look like? And it could be different for different people. But I think it's a kind of a universal struggle that we're all trying to figure out, especially in this pandemic where we're at home and we are online, basically plugged in 24/7, right?
Seriously. I made this post a while back. It was called like Habits for LinkedIn. And one of them was don't open LinkedIn if you are sad, lonely, depressed. Like, I know if I wake up and I'm feeling anxious or whatever, and I go on LinkedIn, It's not great.
It's not good.
You know,
in
my mind
good.
Will compare myself to all these people, and then I start thinking like, wait, what am I doing? And then the other tip that I mentioned too was to schedule social media time in there, like inside of your calendar. Because I know for me, I struggle with like, you know, if I have like a 5-minute break in between this live stream and my next meeting, I struggle with just like opening up my phone and going on LinkedIn. And then like trying to think back on what I was doing and then being off track. And so for me, like scheduling it at certain times, like at 10 a.m., at 4 p.m., that's what works for me. But I think this is definitely going to be an evolving, you know, conversation as companies' tools change, algorithms, all the stuff.
I'm curious, actually, because I know that like people are watching this, like, How do you set up boundaries for yourself when it comes to social media? Like, do you have, like, are you scheduling time? Because, like, I need all the tips too. Like, I have a lot of lessons and advice to share, but I'm still a work in progress too. And there's things that I'm still learning. So I'd love to hear about how other people are kind of maintaining that balance to make sure that their mental health is intact, but also creating community and connecting to the right people.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is, like, of course, scheduling it in your schedule. I think the biggest thing for me personally has been, like, the art of just doing one thing at a time.
Ooh, I like that. Yes.
In 2020, this is rare, but, like, literally the ability to, like, open your email, write an email, and then do emails, and then get up, and then, you know, maybe go on a live stream, do a podcast, whatever, and just do that one thing without, like, checking your phone and doing 600 different things and messaging 7,000 people like we all do. And so I think that's been major. And then I think the other big thing is just, like, realizing that we are all growing as human beings. We're all constructing, our ego is all constructing this character, this identity of who we think we should be. And the reality is that's always going to change. And so for me, I honestly see my social media journey as, like, every 3 months, every 6 months, I can kind of tell that the tone of my content, the tone of my messaging changes because I change as a person.
And
It can seem confusing, right? Because you are putting out this message, and of course you're putting out good messages of, like, this one idea, but then you're changing as a human being and you're trying to authentically, sort of express that, project that, but then that may sort of, it's difficult. It's difficult. That's why I wanted to bring you on here and talk about, like, this social media mind feedback loop that I think we're in, and a lot of creatives do it. I think for me, trying to find, like, some random creative outlet has been really helpful. If it's like, hey, I don't want to use my message and sort of just on a podcast with just my voice. What if I write a poem, or what if I, you know, write a song or something like that? And so I think that's been one of the biggest things that's helped me. And then just, like, focusing on one thing at a time, you know, like, if I'm writing a LinkedIn post, I'm writing a LinkedIn post. I'm not checking Twitter. I'm not messaging this person. That's, like, so important, because honestly, I feel like when we're multitasking, and your brain is constantly stimulated, and we, like, if you just look at, like, the science of a lot of, some mental health problems, a lot of it comes from overstimulation. A lot of it comes from, oh, I gotta do this, gotta do that, gotta do that, gotta do that, gotta do that, gotta do that. Next thing you know, your entire system is freaking out. But yet in 2020, we think that this is all normal, when in reality, just based on our physiology, it's not.
You know what the biggest lie that we tell ourselves is?
What?
We can multitask. No. There is, like, scientifically, it is not possible for your brain to multitask. It can only do one thing at a time. And I remember seeing this even when I was a cashier at a grocery store, people being on the phone. And I could tell if somebody was on a phone, it was going to take them three tries before they would actually be able to put their pin into their into the machine. And so I knew, like, very early on that, like, this whole, like, I can multitask thing, no, you can't. You can start doing something, stop doing it, start doing something. And all you're doing, just like you're mentioning, is wasting energy trying to multitask. For me, actually, what works really well is doing a 5-minute meditation in between tasks, because I feel like I need to switch energies. So, like, if I'm, like, sitting there and say that I'm doing an hour of answering emails, I need to go and do a 5-minute meditation before I jump into working on, like, a LinkedIn course, because it requires a different part of my brain. So I almost think of it as, like, a brain palate cleanser.
I love that. I love that. That's so powerful. Actually, a billionaire friend of mine told me that he does that in between business and then seeing his family, because
like, if they go to an office, like, they'll, like, sit in your car, do 5 minutes of meditation before you go in to see your family. I know a lot of people are working from home right now, but if you do, just to separate that, like, work showing up as, a member of the family.
Yeah, I mean, especially now, just because there is, for the most part, there is no literal separation of the environment. We need some sort of, yeah, you got to make it happen.
Yeah.
Michaela, I have a couple more questions for you as we wrap up here. What would be your, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but what would be like your number one tip or advice for someone who is an entrepreneur, for someone who's trying to start a business and they're looking at LinkedIn as a potential way to grow, and maybe they've already started their LinkedIn journey, but what would your number one advice be for someone who is trying to make something happen, sell something, start a movement in general?
I think the biggest mistake that I see a lot of people make is that they put a lot of weight into their ideal audience. And when I say that, I mean, okay, well, they need to have a certain title and they need to have a certain salary and they need to work for a certain company. And I will tell you that the greatest opportunities that I've ever had in my career have come from people that were job seekers at the same time I was. So all the people that everybody else ignored when I started because they were just the job seeker, those are people that went on to incredible careers, build amazing businesses that have grown. And so I think really approaching LinkedIn and life in general as every single person that you meet has worth and value, and really connecting with people as people, not just as what can this person do for me? I think that makes all the difference in the world. And yes, it's a long, you know, if you want to talk about strategy, it's a long term strategy. Like a lot of these people have become clients like 4 years later,
but.
The benefits just pay off. And a lot of those people too, even if they don't become clients, they have become my greatest ambassadors. They have become my little soldiers that have gone out there and spread my message. And those are the people that have really changed my life. It's not the, you know, the CEO that commented on my post back in 2016. It's the people that have been there from day one and have really accepted me for who I am and stood by my side. And so forget impressing other people, because that's not what LinkedIn is all about. You can have your credentials, and yes, credibility is really important in business, but at the end of the day, we work with people that we know, like, and trust. And I think people try to skip over the know, like, and trust part and skip like straight to the sell. And I think just focusing on shaking as many hands as you can and getting to know people on a human is always going to pay off tenfold.
Yeah, no, seriously, 100%. And, you know, I got this impression a lot of times if I was invited to go to some like random networking event back when we can have events, and you could just see like people that like walk up to you, they ask you what you do, and then almost immediately, it's like if they can't tell that you're going to be a client, they just treat you like some walking wallet, just walk away.
Yeah, I remember, like, it's so funny that you say that, because before I started creating content on LinkedIn, I was that person, right? I would go to events and like I was just like some loser marketer. Like people would like over and like to see who else they can talk to when they talk to me. And then what was really hard for me when I started creating content and building my community, I would go to these events and they would be the same people that are like, oh, hi, Michaela, da 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 da. It's like just be what is like. Just be kind to people, like literally where it is. Be empathetic, be brave, be kind. Just be good to people. Like, because you don't think that I see right through that. Like what, you just wait until somebody has value in your eyes. It absolutely drives me insane that that happens. And you can also change somebody's life. Like the amount of people that gave me strength on LinkedIn when I couldn't see my own potential. Right. Because there are times in our life where we don't see it. You know, I thought at that time I lost my job. I'm like, well, I guess this is my reality. I guess I'm just not good enough. I guess I just don't have any value. And it was other people that were like, keep going. No, like, look at all you've created. Look at how creative you are. Look at how much experience you have. Those are the people that kept me going. And so it all comes in like full circle, right? Because those people that kept me going are now the ones that are clients of mine, and they're my greatest referrals, source of referrals, and all of that good stuff. But you have to start with the intention of like, this is a human being, and And sometimes it's not even referrals, it's just lessons. Like the greatest lessons that I have ever learned in my career came from working the customer service desk at a grocery store. Because I mean, the job was crappy. Like it was terrible. But the people that I worked with, like I worked with one woman and she was working two jobs because she wanted her kids to be able to go to university and not have to have debt, not to live the life that she lived. Another person that was autistic and he started off as like, the person that goes and gets a carts and then worked his way up to being a cashier and he was able to go and get his own apartment and watching him like grow and blossom into like this like person. And he was so proud of himself for all of that. And so the best lessons that I have learned have come from the most unexpected places. And so never think that you are only going to learn things from the Steve Jobs of the world and from the, you know, all of these people that have made it. Cause sometimes it's learning from those people that maybe you wouldn't normally speak to, or you wouldn't normally, learn from. Lessons come from absolutely everywhere. It's just always so important to be kind.
Of course. And, one of my favorite rappers, Logic, has this line where he says, never disrespect a caterpillar on its way to becoming a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me is like one of the biggest things. Yeah, for sure. I try my best to be kind and be empathetic and be brave.
But also remember that you're a caterpillar too. Like I think once you actually believe that you're a butterfly, you're like flying away. Like, I'm already a butterfly. I think if you always have the mindset that you are still the caterpillar and you are still growing, that's how you stay connected to your audience.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's always day one.
Yeah, I love that. Exactly.
I'm gonna work on that, Mikaela. first off, this has been awesome. I see a lot of comments in the live stream. People really loved our conversation. Mikaela, where can people go to check you out? Obviously, you have your LinkedIn. Yeah. You have your website, miseek.com. Is there anything? You know, any best places people will check out, and I'll leave your website on.
So, Mark, I'm having the biggest problem right now. I'm not able to connect with anybody on LinkedIn. I don't know if anybody else is having this issue. I'm working with the LinkedIn tech team. I'm literally not able to accept connection requests. So if you're on LinkedIn, follow me on LinkedIn. I have an open profile, so you can still send me a message without paying for it. So at least follow me. If you want to send me a connection request, absolutely. I would love to connect, but it just might take a while. I don't know how long it's going to take LinkedIn to actually solve that issue. MikaelaAlexis.com is my website. I'm doing a lot more TikToks right now. I don't know if I should share my TikToks because they're kind of embarrassing. It's like this rabbit hole. People are like, wow, you just like change. I get like more and more casual. But TikTok, it's LinkedIn Queen. I share a lot of like LinkedIn, like quick tips and tricks. And then Instagram, if you want to learn more about like the personal side of me, if I wasn't personal enough on LinkedIn, at MikaelaAlexis. But I'm really excited. Thank you so much for having me on, Mark. This has been such a pleasure. Like, Mark, like, I feel like I've been trying to connect with you it's been years because I remember you posted, hashtag Let's Get Honest campaign, right? Is that when you started?
It was my first video, yeah.
That makes me so happy to hear. Yeah,
totally changed my life.
That's amazing. Yeah, and I love that because there's been so many people like you. I know a few other creators that started there, and watching people kind of blossom has been such a joy for me. So thank you so much for having me on and allowing me to share the conversation with your audience.
Of course. Keep being yourself, and we all appreciate what you do too. And hopefully, you know, sometime when the world turns back on, we can revisit this in person if you're down for it. But I highly recommend people check out your website, your LinkedIn. Mikaela, this has been such a privilege, such an honor. And I hope everyone else out there also enjoyed it. This has been your host, Mark Metry.
Hey, you made it to the end of the podcast. It's your host, Mark Metry. And I just want to take a moment here and sincerely acknowledging you for taking the time out of your own day, your own life, to invest it into listening to this podcast, to gain something valuable and implement into your life to make it better. This is what it's all about. Now, if you actually gain value from this this episode and you want to give me value somehow, I would unbelievably appreciate it if you went to Apple Podcasts, iTunes, if you have an Apple product where you listen to podcasts, and please leave this show a review. You are free to send me a message, email, contact information is in the description below. Thank you so much for listening. Let's get this grassroots movement going.